So the end game is so important. He's very strategic when he places you in situations and makes things available and makes temptations available, makes your flesh cry out. He don't even have to help you with that. A lot of times that's our own doing. Our flesh is just what it is. It cries out for what it wants. But the agenda... Life is just a vapor. Some of us live life like we're gonna live forever, and I'm here to tell you, no. Especially in this day and age, no. You know, when I was younger, I didn't see those things. I didn't notice those things. It was usually just the elderly, very old, dying. No, we have children dying. We have young men and women dying at the hands of stupidity and rage and greed. The old ones aren't dying as much. Yes, they do die. But I'm seeing a generation being wiped out. Life is but a vapor. James 4 and 14 tells us all about that. This is the gospel speaking. James is actually the brother of Jesus. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And I can look over my 50-some years, and it's gone quick. I look at my children. We're about to celebrate the 33rd birthday of my oldest. And I remember bringing that boy home from the hospital. It's like, it's gone. It is gone. My baby celebrated her 26th birthday. She was the baby, you know. Good Lord. And it's just gone. And she looked at me yesterday and she says, I'm just getting old. I said, 26, let me talk to you about 50-some years old. We'll talk then. Enjoy your youth. But it's true. Life is but a vapor. And some of them didn't even make it that far. I remember my son lost his first classmate in second grade. Here I am taking my child to a funeral, trying to help him learn to grieve through this and understand what has happened. Second grade. Psalms 90 and 10, it says, the days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. This is where my mother-in-law used to get that you know, 70, 72 years or 70 years and anything else, God has given you the grace to have. Life is short. My father-in-law lived to be 90 by the grace of God. God kept him that long. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7 says, and the dust returneth to the earth as it was, and the spirit returneth to God who gave it. That is what happens at death. This physical body returns back to the dust as it was made from, but the spirit returns to God who gave it. Once we appear before God, Hebrews 9 and 27 says, as it is appointed unto man once to die. There is no reincarnation. Once to die. After this, the judgment. We are all going to be standing before God and the throne in judgment. All of us. All people will die. All people will return. The bodies will return to dust. And the spirit will go to heaven or to the Father who made it for judgment. And at that time, your destination for eternity will be made known. And I doubt any of us will stand there in the revelation that we have, wondering where we're going to be. I doubt it. But the destination is not the same for the saved and the unsaved, or the righteous and the unrighteous, as the Bible says. I want to just read you a couple stories and talk to you about what happens when the end game is done. You're playing this game every day. It's not a game like sports. There is rewards, there are crowns, but there's also eternal punishment. It's a game of your life. Choose wisely. Choose wisely every decision. And if you go to Matthew 25, this chapter, Jesus himself told parables about the 10 virgins, the ones who were foolish and didn't take the oil with them. And when the bridegroom came, they didn't get to go, plain and simple. But they had the audacity to ask the ones who had extra oil to give them some of their oil. And child of God, remember, there is a time to show and give your oil, and there is a time that you must retain it. Not everybody is with you, is for you. Not everybody. Your soul hangs in the balance just like them. The parable of the talents would be the next one. The master leaves and gives so many talents to each person. Child of God, you have talents. You have talents. You may have 5. You may have 10. You may have 2. You may have 1. But you are supposed to use that talent. For when the master comes home, or when we go to be with him, definitely, how you used your talents will make a varying on your eternity. And then he goes down and he talks in the last portion of the judgment. And I want to read that in the Amplified Version. It says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and majesty, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him for judgment, and he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd separates his sheep from his goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand, the place of honor, and the goats on his left hand, the place of rejection. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you blessed my father, of my father, you favored of God, anointed to eternal salvation, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me with help and ministering care. I was in prison and you came to me, ignoring personal danger.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or you're naked and clothed you? And when did you sick or in prison and come to you? When did we see you then?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'I assure you and most solemnly say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it for me. You did it for me.' And then he will say to those on the left, 'Leave me, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels,'" the demons. "For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in, and naked and you did not even clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or as a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' And then he will reply to them, 'I assure you and most solemnly say to you, to the extent that you did not do it for one of the least of these, my followers, you did not do it for me.' Then those unbelieving people will go away into eternal, unending punishment. But those who are righteous and in right standing with God will go by his remarkable grace into eternal, unending life. Eternal, unending life. Do you see the difference between the sheep and the goats? Child of God, the game is so important. Life is so important. That's why the enemy's always trying to talk you out of it. He's always trying to talk you out of it, whether it be by making crazy, reckless decisions or simply taking your own life. And I have been down both roads. Only by the prayers and grace, the grace of God, do I stand before you today and testify of that. Yes, there are two groups, the righteous and the unrighteous. And sometimes the unrighteous think they're righteous. You have to be careful of that. That's a whole nother sermon. Let me keep going. But we have a choice every day. Every day is a decision. Every moment of the day. Do you grumble? Do you complain? Are you a light for him? I know you get up and we don't feel good. Our bodies, they're just bodies. We got to take care of them. And sometimes they don't feel the greatest. And sometimes things aren't going our way. And sometimes we don't hear God speaking. It doesn't change who you are, child of God. It only changes you can make the decision to forfeit your eternity. Be very careful. Be very careful. 1 Corinthians is the next place he took me. 1 Corinthians 6. Verses 9-10. We'll probably read verse 11. But know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, adulterers, idlers, effeminates, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revelers, extorters shall inherit the kingdom of God. And I love Paul says, and such were some of you. Don't be too high and mighty about what you see. But you are washed. Let me remind you, you are washed. But you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There is a difference. There is the unrighteous and the righteous. Galatians 5 also talks about difference. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest with these, which are these. Now these are the works of the flesh. And remember, the flesh is something we contend with. It's our nature, our sinful nature. And whether it's by choice, whether it's by habit, why it's a mindset that we have taught ourselves or something we've shut ourselves into thinking that we can't be any different than that. You can, child of God. You are, child of God, different. You have to choose to operate in it. It says, but the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulates, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, capitalize, which lives in you, child of God, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. There is a difference in how you, child of God, should walk and talk and behave and treat people. Any people. Any people. We are called to be different. Peculiar people. They don't understand us. I had one person that knew me, and she says, with all that you're going through, how can you be so happy? I said, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. Just that difference. Joyfulness. Happiness. Amidst the storm. I wish I'd said that all the time. I don't always say it. Help, pray for me. I need help. But so there is a difference of who will be and who will not be. And the end game makes a difference. The end game makes a difference. But we live that end game every day, every day. Every day we're making these choices. Now, the Bible says a righteous man follows 7 times. You ain't going to be perfect. I know that. He knows that. But it says he gets up. That's the difference. I don't go back to what I was. I get it under the blood if it need be. I get it right with him and whoever it need be. And then I keep moving forward. That's where the enemy likes to come in and talk to you about who you are and who you're not. And make accusations. But I want to talk about this eternal punishment. Mark 9:43-48. And these are Jesus' words himself. Mark 9:43-48. My time is short. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get it all together for you. It says, but Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do miracles in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against me, against us, is in our part, is on our part. For whoever shall give you a drink, a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to me, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and cast into the sea. Boy, the offense is great for those who offend. Let's talk about. And he says, goes on, and if they, and it talks about if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having 2 hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet as to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye offends you, pluck it out. It's better to have 1 eye and enter into the kingdom of heaven than 2 and be cast into hell's fire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Doesn't sound like a place I want to be. Now, figuratively speaking, we talk about that as you know, the circumcision of the heart, of the flesh. Cutting off what offends you. Cutting off what offends you. You have victory in Christ Jesus. We just read about, and we preached about it last week. We have all these wonderful things, but we, too many times as Christians, we are entertaining the enemy by not following the direction and guidance of God's Word and the Holy Spirit. We're making those in-game choices and don't even realize it because we're submitting to our flesh or into temptation. And it's an in-game that's happening. Jesus talked himself about a parable. He told a story about a rich man and a poor man. You'll find that in Luke 16:19-31. So heaven and hell are real. I don't care what people tell you. Earth is not hell. There is a destination for it. You think it's bad here? Listen to what the Bible said about it. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared scrumptiously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sore, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his fingers in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tortured in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but he is now comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one rose from the dead. That's a hard heart right there. But let me just tell you, the rich man represents a fleshly life, a life surrounded by self, fleshly indulgence, away from God. Wouldn't even help a man that needed help, that he knew needed help. Wouldn't even clothe him or help him in any way that he can. And then Lazarus represents a life not consumed by the world, not consumed by the statue, not consumed by what people thought about him. That's my interpretation. There is, the original interpretation. But how do you want to end this game? How do you want to spend eternity? Jesus himself talked about a heaven and a hell. In their time, it was it was paradise, because Jesus hadn't died and we could go and be with him in heaven. But is what they had at the time. It was the good and the bad, and we have something even better. Now we can be with the Father in heaven. But the game is very important, and I dare say, and I pray, that you hear my words today in each decision, every temptation, every fleshly attitude that raises up or desire that raises up that is not in align with the word. Realize that's a strategic moment in your life. Are you going to be sheep? Or are you going to be goats? Where is your game going to end? Eternally. The Bible says, choose this day whom you will serve. Some of us don't even realize we're being used as instruments of the enemy. And we're coming in here every Sunday morning, shouting and singing. And I come from Pentecostal, and we could outdo all of you, I'm sure. There's so much more to it than emotions. So much more to it than emotion. God is looking for a heart that serves him in truth and in spirit and worships him that way. Choose this day who you will serve. Tomorrow may be your end game. Tomorrow may be the last time that you have on this earth. I don't know. We're not even promised the next minute. You may be drawing your last breaths. Somebody may be taking that phone call on Monday like I did in January the 5th for my friend, coworker, not even 40 years old. You never know who you're going to be the last person they talk to that shares Jesus to them. Please do it. Eternity is forever. I don't want to be sitting on the other side praying God send somebody to my family. I don't want them to come to this terrible place. Time is short. The game has purpose. The enemy knows how serious it is. None of us have seen the other side. He banks on that fact. He banks on it. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for the opportunity to know about the enemy and the opponent who opposes us. His strategic moves, Father, they're all laid out in your word so that we can be strong in your word and in the salvation and the strength of Jesus Christ. And we are more than conquerors. Father, we have the blood of Jesus Christ. We have resurrection. We have the power over death, hell, and the grave because Jesus rose and he took away the keys of the enemy and gave it to us, Lord. Help us to use it wisely. Help us to make every decision an in-game decision. So at the final play, we'll be welcomed into heaven with you. Help us, Lord, to take everyone with us to your loving arms. Help us to show Jesus every day. Your precious and holy name, I praise you. Amen.